الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والفجر وليال عشر. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عن محمد بن أبي بكر عن أبي بكر رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إن الزمان قد استدار كهيئته يوم خلق الله السماوات والأرض. السنة 12 شهرا، منها أربعة حرم، ثلاث متواليات: ذو القعدة وذو الحجة والمحرم ورجب مضر الذي بين جمادى وشعبان. قال: أي شهر هذا؟ قلنا: الله ورسوله أعلم. فسكت حتى ظننا أنه سيسميه بغير اسمه، إلى آخر الحديث. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders, brothers and the sisters that may be listening over receivers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are on the doorstep of the month of Zulhijjah. The verse of the Quran Sharif which I recited, the beginning verses of Surah Al-Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, takes a qasam and says, وَالْفَجَرْ by the break of dawn, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ and by the 10 nights, or the ten nights, meaning the 10 nights of the beginning of the nights of Zulhijjah. Very, very auspicious days and period that we are in. In fact, the ulama have written that from immediately after the month of Ramadan, when the moon of Shawwal is sighted, then it is in actual fact the beginning of the days of Hajj, and it is a very, 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 we can refer to it as the spiritual high season. And there are many, many special ibadahs that are related to this particular period. There is very great virtue that is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So probably tomorrow or latest day after tomorrow, the first of Dhul-Hijjah will start. So I thought it is appropriate for us to remind one another of the great virtues of these days that we are going to be experiencing, and what are some of the actions that have appeared in the Quran Sharif and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to what we should be doing. So the first aspect to understand is that in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu an, it's a very lengthy hadith and we'll quote some portion of it. He says that it was in the beginning of Dhul-Hijjah when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the Sahaba ikram. Some narrations say that it was actually on the day of Nahr. Others say it was during Dhul-Hijjah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he asked the Sahaba ikram, "Ayyu shahrin hada?" Which month is this? Which month is this? Now it was not a question of the Sahaba ikram not knowing. If we have to ask one another now, which month are we in? We'll know, each and every one of us will know. So it was a question in order to get their attention to something important that was going to be said. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ayyu shahrin hadha?" The Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in also understood that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not asking the question for the purposes of getting an answer. There was something more important than just this, the typical seeking of information, which is the general purpose that a question is asked for. So they said, the answer to the question that they gave was, "Allahu wa Rasulu a'lam." What is the intention with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to this question? Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam know better. Then he said that he remained silent, pondering sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a while, until we thought that maybe the name of the month is going to change. It was the month of Dhul-Hijjah. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Alaysa Dhul-Hijjah?" Is it not the month of Dhul-Hijjah? Is it not the month of Dhul-Hijjah, which we will, inshallah, probably be experiencing from tomorrow or day after? Sahaba ikram said, "Qulna bala." Certainly it is the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ayyu baladin hadha?" Then he said, "Then tell me which city is this?" They were in Makkah al-Mukarramah. They answered, Allahu wa Rasulu A'lam, Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. Then they say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sakata hatta dhananna annahu sayusammihi bighayri ismihi. He remained silent sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until we thought that maybe the name of Makkah al-Mukarrama is going to be changing and he will name it something else. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is it not alaysa al-balda, is it not the city? In other words, that city, the important city of Makkah al-Mukarrama. So it was a virtuous time, it was a virtuous place, auspicious time, auspicious place. Then they said, yes, certainly, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, asked, فَأَيُّ يَوْمٍ هَذَا. Then which day is this? Which particular day from the days of Zulhijjah is this? And according to this riwayat, this particular narration, it was the day of Nahar. Again they answered the same, that Allah and His Messenger know best. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, is it not the day of Nahar, meaning the 10th of Zulhijjah? And then they all said, Bala ya Rasulullah, certainly it is the 10th of Zulhijjah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum. Once we've understood the auspiciousness of the day, the month of Zulhijjah, and the particular days within Zulhijjah, and also at that time it was in an auspicious place, in Makkah al-Mukarrama. Just like we understand the sanctity, the auspiciousness, the greatness, the importance of these aspects, see the opportunity that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took to explain a very, very critical aspect and part of our deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum. Qala Muhammad wa ahsibu qala wa a'radakum. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then understand that your blood and your wealth and your honor, your reputations amongst you are also sanctified. Haramun ka hurmati yawmikum hadha fi baladikum hadha fi shahrikum hadha. Just like we are giving these things importance and sanctity, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized on this occasion the sanctity of human life, of the life of every single person, in particular the believers, of each person's wealth, of each person's honor. So all the more so important to be conscious and cognizant of the importance of protecting and preserving life, wealth, honor, dignity. This is part and parcel of the teachings of deen, and very much part and parcel of recognizing the importance of these great days that we are in. So when it comes to, for example, what is happening in the world around us, particularly our brothers and sisters in Palestine, our hearts should be aching every day, and we should be performing special du'as for our brothers and sisters, and whatever else, whatever assistance we can do. It is not that our deen is detached from what is happening. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again he emphasized this on the days of Zulhijjah, the importance and the sanctity of human life. Nevertheless, after that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ala liyuballigh ash-shahidul ghaib. This is a very important message, and he said, take note and let everyone who is present advise the one who is not present. And this is the manner in which this is reaching us right until today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Then when we have to look at what are the virtues of the virtuous acts as far as the virtue of performing good deeds on this particular day, there are various ahadith. In one narration of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu an says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma min ayyamin al-amalu salihu fiha ahabbu ila Allah min hadhi al-ayyam. That there are no days besides these days in which good deeds have more virtue and are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the days of Dhul-Hijjah. The days of Dhul-Hijjah. So Sahaba Ikram asked that, قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَلِلْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. That, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if a person does the act of jihad in which his life is at risk, even that act, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the days of Zulhijjah, the beginning 10 days of Zulhijjah is more virtuous than going in jihad. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, even walal jihad fi, even jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with one exception. With one exception, إِلَّا رَجُلٌ خَرَجَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِي فَلَمْ يَرْجِعْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِشَيْءٍ. Except that person who went out in jihad, he took all of his wealth, and he went with his life. He doesn't return with his wealth. Nothing from his wealth remains, and even his life doesn't. In other words, he loses his life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That virtue is beyond this. But just for a moment, let us imagine what is the virtue of these days that we are about to experience in the next few days. So the most important thing, brothers and elders, is that we take cognizance of the great virtue of these days and resolve within ourselves to realize the full potential of these days. If we make that niyat sitting here, then at least we have achieved something. Otherwise, the purpose of the Jummah talks is not there just to get some information. It should be a source of motivation for us to take advantage of these different opportunities for becoming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in general, ibadat are very, very virtuous, all types of ibadat. In particular, fasting. There is a hadith of Abu Dawud Sharif in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat, one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to say that he used to fast regularly, in particular the 9th of Zulhijjah, meaning the day, fast on the day of Arafah. And in one riwayat, in Musnad Ahmad, Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, I have hope, أَحْتَسِبُ صَوْمُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يُكَفِّرُ السَّنَةَ الْمَاضِيَةَ وَالْبَاقِيَةَ, that the fasting on the day, in particular on the day of Arafah, the 9th of Zulhijjah, this in particular will attract reward which is equal to which will be a source of forgiveness of the person's 1 year's past sins and 1 year's future sins. And then there are other riwayat, there's a hadith of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, which there is some discussion with regards to the authenticity of the chain. But nevertheless, the thrust of the hadith is this, that the virtues of ibadat, whether it is salah, standing up in ibadat on these nights of Zulhijjah, or fasting, is multiplied many, many fold. So it is definitely very, very auspicious days that we need to ensure that the mindset is made in order to take full benefit of these great days. Then I mentioned that there are certain ibadat that will come in these days, and that opportunity to fulfill those ibadat do not come at any other time in the year. Because remember, when it comes to ibadat, the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a manifestation of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why if we have to look at one of those ibadat, it is the ibadat of udhiya or qurbani, as we refer to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not that the qurbani is there, sometimes there's a misunderstanding, and our Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullah alayhi used to emphasize this point, because we get caught up in the narrative that it is there, the purpose is for giving meat, distribution of meat to the poor. Indeed, it is one of the benefits that emanate from qurbani, but it is not the primary objective. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, ma hadhi al-adha'i ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he answered, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim, this is the way of your father Ibrahim alayhi salam. And what was his way? The way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, what was the outstanding feature in the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam? It was that unwavering and unquestioning submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was not a question of putting your logic in front of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was not a question of saying, now if something makes sense to me, then I will do it. If it doesn't make sense to me, I won't do it. So this was the outstanding aspect. And this we find repeatedly in the various acts that are there, particularly in qurbani. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to ask, he said that, for example, there's a mas'ala, there's a ruling that if the animal's horn is damaged from the root of the horn, its horn has been removed, then that animal cannot be slaughtered. That doesn't affect the meat of the animal. So if it was a question of the meat, it is a sacrifice, it is a presentation, it is a submission to the will and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the great scholar of Islam, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, he says that ye deen rasmi karwaiyon se bala tar hai. Our deen is free of empty rituals. It's free of empty rituals. There is meaning, there is substance, there is purpose behind everything that we do. And it is upon us to understand that. So Rasulullah said, in fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, لَيَّنَا لَاللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَاكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. The meat doesn't reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا, or the blood of that qurbani animal. But that sincerity and that taqwa, that submission of yours to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is what is sought after by Allah subhanahu. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. So therefore, there are many, many detailed masail that are there. When we perform this qurbani, often people ask, they say that, you know, is qurbani wajib upon me? That's the only, there are certain masail. For example, if a person has the means, then he should perform qurbani, and we can find out the details from ulama. But where we have situations where people have excess assets in their possession, excess things, and then to try and be stingy about the way that we perform our qurbani in, this is something that is foreign to the spirit that deen has taught us. So we should try and perform carry out this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a beautiful way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith said, فَطِيبُوا بِهَا نَفْسًا. Do it in a beautiful way. Because when that animal is slaughtered, then it reaches at the speed of lightning, the acceptance appears in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that before the blood touches the ground, when that qurbani is done with sincerity and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it reminds me of another lesson that we can take, that Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to quote this verse of poetry of our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Akhtar Sahib very, very frequently. He said, Na tera dil, na teri jaan chahiye. Today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking us to slaughter our children or to give our lives at this particular moment. Unko tujhse khune arma chahiye. If we have to slaughter anything, then we should be thinking when we are putting that knife on the neck of the animal, that this is a simulation of us putting the knife on the neck of our haram desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to sacrifice our haram desires. So this qurbani is a very, very important ibadat that can only be done at this time, the days of Yawm al-Nahar, the 10th, 11th and 12th of Dhul Hijjah. In fact, to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the 10th, 11th and 12th, it is prohibited to fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to these days as ayyamu aklin wa shurbin. These are the days when we rejoice and we express our happiness and we express celebration in this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, it is another discussion, but that animal, that meat that is there, this is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this ummah. It is rather strange today that on the day of qurbani, many, many families are not even partaking of that meat. Meat is taken out from the freezer or then some other meat also. This is a celebration of the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this ummah. The prior ummahs were not even allowed to partake of the sacrificial animals that were submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, this aspect of qurbani is in one of those ibadat, one of those actions that is reserved for this particular period. Then there are other actions. For example, on the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized and has recommended that those of us that are going to be performing qurbani, then from the first of Zulhijjah, from when the moon is sighted up until the qurbani is performed, then we should try and emulate the hujjaj in the sense that we will not be cutting our nails and our hair, unless it is in such a state that it becomes wajib to cut. Can find out the details from the ulama, but we should try and emulate. The ulama have written, this is like an emulation of the hujjaj. So whilst being here, in whichever city or whichever city of the world we are, a person can be reminded and mentally conscious of the state of the hujjaj of Allah, that are in in Makkatul Mukarramah. So this is something that is very, very advisable. And this ibadat of refraining from cutting one's hair and nails can only be done again in these days. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught us that from the 9th of Zulhijjah, from the Fajr of the 9th of Zulhijjah up until Asr of the 13th of Zulhijjah, after the Fard Salat, it is wajib to recite loudly for the men and softly for the females, Takbirut Tashriq. So this is also an ibadah. It is a special ibadah that is reserved for these days. It is reserved for these days, and we should carry it out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in one hadith, when he was asked about what are the actions that we should do in these days. So in one hadith he said, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ مِنَ التَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. These are the days to be, on the tongue should be constantly the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. These are the days where the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be shouted out and should be proclaimed. Then we have the ibadah of Hajj. Again, it is a topic on its entirety, but if we have to reflect upon the virtues of Hajj and the ibadat of Hajj, it is farz once in a lifetime upon every believer. And if we have to again reflect upon what is the essence of Hajj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Hajju Arafah. The essence of Hajj is the day of Arafah. And the ulama have written that even a person being present on the plains of Arafah for a few seconds on that 9th of Zulhijjah is sufficient for his Hajj to be completed. So now if one has to reflect and again go back to that understanding of what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. What is the message? What is the underlying theme? It is the theme of submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the logic would have said that if you are in Makkatul Mukarramah, and we know that the sawab for performing salah in the Haram Sharif, according to some ahadith, is over 100,000 times more than compared to performing anywhere else, then logic would have determined that no, stay and perform and cling yourself to the Kaaba Sharif, stand at the Multazam or perform salah in the Haram Sharif. But that person's Hajj will not be completed. So the message to us, each and every one of us, is that we have to reflect over what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command is directed to us at a particular point in time. This is the message of these days. Whether it is in Qurbani, whether it is through the Hajj that is so emphasized, that the message is a message of submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not a question of putting everything on the scale of our logic. And if I have to just end off with one beautiful example, which the great scholar and thinker in Islam, Allama Ibn Khaldun, rahimahullah, has given, he's saying that the example of that person who wants to weigh everything on the scale of his logic is like the example of the person who is weighing, if we have to understand in our day and age, on the scale of a jeweler, if you try and put something that weighs a few tons, is it possible? Is it possible to get a correct reading? The equipment is not designed, it is not calibrated, it is not manufactured in order to be able to give you that reading. Or for example, the other way around, if you take a weighbridge, and on a weighbridge, if you try and put a few grains of gold dust on it and get a weight like what the jeweler tries to do, it will be impossible to get a reading because that equipment is not calibrated. Our minds, dear brothers and elders, it is not that there is no wisdom, it is that our minds may not all the time be capable of understanding every single reason and wisdom behind the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is required from us is submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. In particular, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand that message which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized on this day, which was the sanctity of blood of every human being, of the wealth of every person, of the honor of every person. And make that we make an effort. It goes, our deen goes beyond just completion of acts of worship, there is a message, there is a substance behind whatever we do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.